Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As you know, the show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, as well as 1798part2.org, as well as republicreview.org. As you know, because those of you who have been tuning in on a regular basis know that this is the show that is actually providing the spotlight, placing the spotlight on the only process that is going to get the federal government into compliance. The elephant in the room, folks, is compliance and the fact that state, city, county, federal, all government at all levels is failing to comply to the U.S. and state constitutions. As long as they can continue to get away with selling us downriver, they will do so to a point where once we collapse, it's done and over. There's a fix to that, and as you know, it's about compliance, and that's why you're listening to this show, and I appreciate you tuning in. Even more so, I appreciate the fact that you are spreading the word regarding what we're doing. As I was just having an interesting conversation with an older gentleman today, he was completely blown away. I mean, he understood the Constitution. He's 80 years old. He understood the Constitution was a contract and so forth, but he never put it into context. And as I was placing it into context for him, it only took me 5 minutes to have this fine man realize, you know, how far off we'd gone, you know, the limitations and the boundaries that the Constitution gave us regarding the contract and so forth. And it was, I don't want to say it was a miracle, but the bottom line is we're getting to a point where we've actually got this thing down to 90-second elevator pitch, and as well as a 5-minute, 15-minute, and so forth, more and more informational. I talk about this in my second book. At the very end, I talk about scripts, and I even provide some scripts. Bottom line, if you really want to make an impact, if you want to have some fun and make an impact, you like public speaking, go down to your city council. Go down to your county commissioners when they meet, and they usually offer, you know, a couple of minutes per person, 2-3 minutes or what have you, to say whatever it is you want to say. If you look at my second book, look at those scripts in the back of that and just make up your own 2-minute speech based on that. If you want, just contact me. I'll try to help you. But get out there, get in their face and poke them in the eye and say, you've got to quit violating the Constitution just because it makes you look better. You are culpable in the problem. And so that is really what we need to do. We need to start holding every public servant accountable because they take an oath. And that's one of the reasons why having every public servant sign a pledge and holding them accountable to that is, I will tell you, it is the proof in the pudding. It is the secret sauce that is going to force these runaway politicians, I'll just call them that, these runaway politicians that have been able to get away with these things, it's going to force them back into behaving the way they're supposed to. See, a long time ago, and I've talked about this before, back in the time of the framers' days, it was the dual time. I mean, you did not impugn somebody's character and integrity because that meant to them more than life. I mean, it was far more important to maintain one's honor and integrity and character than life itself. That's one of the reasons why they had duels. They valued that. That was their property. And so, unfortunately, nowadays, you know, a person's character, a person's honor, integrity, it means nothing. Well, that's okay because everybody will forget about it. I'll go over there and nobody will know. And it's a very cavalier attitude and a cavalier society we live in today, but we need to start making people aware that we are going to hold them accountable and that they aren't going to get the free pass because we actually have things like oaths and pledges that can actually do that. We've got to stop the laissez-faire politics because that has been our problem. So with that, I also want to point out that for those of you who haven't seen it yet, you can go to the GoFundMe.com page. I have a GoFundMe campaign. We hopefully will get really start getting invigorated, because the best way to get money into that is probably not by the individual donations. But if you want to donate, I would be honored that you were contributing. And really what you're going to be paying for, if you go on there, I actually show exactly what I am paying for. And oh, by the way, even though I'm not getting any money, I am going to start posting all of my receipts. So that way, everybody can actually see, okay, well, there's a lot of money going out and not enough coming in. That way we can kind of keep this in context as far as, and I'm only asking because we're subsidizing this radio show. We're subsidizing the cost that it takes for me to do my radio shows and so forth. And we're trying to get out of that too. But the way to get out of that is advertising. So if you have a show, if you've got a company, a product, a business, and you want to advertise, we are pretty cheap. If you want to look into what our rates are, just let us know. And the last thing, as I always try to do every day, I've been doing it a little less, is groveling. We, not just me, America needs your support. America needs your help. It's not about the money. It is about getting our public servants to do their job. So there's many ways you can help. Showing up to these meetings, having a statement at the city council, county council, what have you. Holding them accountable, calling them out in town halls. We have to start putting the pressure on. And there are going to be lots of ways of doing this. And if you get involved, you can learn about those processes, ways, and what we can do. So if you've got a computer and you got a phone, you can start getting busy right now. Just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Another way you can get involved, and I highly recommend this, I'd like to see more and more people, and I haven't talked to Keith in a little while, probably about a week or so, but I'm hoping that some people are starting to at least go on to the constitutionclub.ning.com and actually checking that out, looking at your counties and so forth. I would highly recommend using that. At this point in time, it's a zero cost to you. So hurry up, get in, sign up, and take over, because I'm hoping that this actually changes to a minimal cost at a minimum. And that way people can actually start having the privacy that they need and bringing people into their group and so forth. And we'll talk a little bit about that, but that'll all be exposed and disclosed, I should say, when that moves forward. I'm sure Keith will have a good advertisement and good proclamation as to, you know, what that money is going to go to and how to use it and so forth. So anyhow, let me move on, because time is only flying by. And actually, just so you know, we did a transition today, and it looks like everything's been going pretty good with Red State Talk Radio. So if you are listening and you've been, you know, listening via the same mechanism, it is working then. So in other words, the transition was successful. Eventually, some people that are using old streaming and so forth, you may be affected, but I don't think so for most of you. But there will start promulgating information as we start getting ready to roll off of the old streaming, the company that's providing the streaming before, because we went to a new company. So anyhow, as I looked through the news and as I looked outside and as I traveled around this day and spoke to people, there is no sign that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, or powers. So what that means is you and I, we're going to have to do this. We can't just leave this for our kids to fix, because by the time our kids grow up, by the time that occurs, it'll be too late. And I've talked about this, and I'll probably go into this again, but I just want to let you know that we have to start moving forward, and we have to get tenacious in getting involved and not let up. No quitting. Winning will never occur if we quit. So we have to just be going and plugging forward. And that's really the secret to success, is just plugging forward. So with that, I also want to tell you that this Friday, I have a very special program, I'm going to be giving you the historical context of Thanksgiving and why we kind of go down this path, and what the Thanksgiving that we celebrate is really not necessarily a great thing. And I understand that in context there is something to it, but nothing compared to the first American Thanksgiving. So I would make sure you tune in. I would highly recommend you want to get it. And as a matter of fact, I will probably get all of the podcast up tomorrow before I head out to Wyoming, because it is already pre-recorded. So I'm not even going to go through the news on Friday. It is literally a historical context for you. And I'm hoping in doing this on Friday before Thanksgiving, not that I'm trying to get you not to eat a nice meal. What I'm trying to do is change our paradigm, getting all of us to start thinking the way the framers had literally intended on giving thanks, so that we can kind of put a little bit more of an appropriate context onto what we should be thankful for and how we are to express that thanks. I think you'll find it interesting. And then when you go out and you start actually looking at the source document and so forth, you'll go, oh my gosh, I never knew this. Why didn't I know this? And so with that, I'm at a hard break. So please stay tuned. And we have some good information for you. We'll be getting into a couple of highlights for you. But as soon as we get back, I have a few perspectives regarding the Constitution and what's going on in the news. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so I talked about this about a week ago, right after Sessions. As a matter of fact, when did Sessions step out? He resigned like the day after the election, literally a week ago, right? And so I mentioned that Judge Napolitano kind of came out and provided this, you know, this is the process, this is the guidance from Congress and so forth. And I have to call, you know, the BS flag here. If you read the Kentucky Resolution and the Virginia Resolution, if you read the Constitution and you understand the limitations, the boundaries that are fixed on the federal government. The fact of the matter is that the U.S. Constitution is being violated by the existence of the Justice Department. The FBI is unconstitutional. All of those entities are not within the enumerated powers of the Constitution. So why is it that Judge Napolitano is making such a big deal about these appointments and how things are going? He's talking about how this is literally breaking the law. And here's the funny thing. He made a comment today that if this Whitaker makes any decisions and it comes to, and he says it will come out, not if it comes out, it will come out that he is violating the law that Congress has written as far as seats and so forth of how the Justice Department is to, you know, this, the line of succession and so forth. And he's saying if he makes any decisions, everything has to be undone because you basically have to get the toothpaste back into the tube. And I started thinking about that and I'm going, well, look at all of the laws that the federal government has created that are unconstitutional. All these powers that they have created that are all unconstitutional. Just because we have allowed them, because actually, let me be clear. I point this out to people. We did not allow these things to occur. And my evidence of that is show me the Article 5 process where the states actually ratified and debated the fact that the federal government was going to create a Department of Justice and they were going to start creating these mandate policies and create these laws and hold everybody accountable and be able to rein upon us with a jurisprudence that was all aligned within the Constitution. You know, it's not their friends. This is a huge problem. They are violating the Constitution. And the irony, and this is why I'm bringing this up, is that Judge Napolitano doesn't get it. He accepts all the unconstitutional government. And then he says, well, because these things are violations of these policies and these new regulations, all of it's unconstitutional, Judge. Show me in the Constitution where we have granted the federal government to be able to administer and actually oversee the creation of crimes and punishments of crimes. The Constitution is very clear on this. The Constitution only gave the federal government the power over treason, counterfeiting, and crimes committed on the high seas and the crimes committed against the laws of nations. Both of those last two crimes are crimes that are outside the boundaries and jurisdiction of the United States. So the reason why those are in there is to protect U.S. citizens over those types of crimes for jurisdiction. That way, if somebody gets in trouble on the high seas, or if somebody gets in trouble in some far place or in a territory that was not under the control of the United States, the United States government could literally just assert that they have jurisdiction over the defining of that crime and or the punishments of those crimes against the laws of nations and crimes or high crimes committed in the high seas. So anyway, fact of the matter is Judge Napolitano is speaking much or having much ado about nothing. And I have a high respect and regard for the judge, but there's this breakdown in his logic in understanding the limitations of the Constitution. I would invite him and I'd invite you to go and read the resolutions of Kentucky and Virginia, where Thomas Jefferson clearly points out and pokes the federal government in the eye and saying, you don't have any ability to regulate any crime or create any crime. The only thing you can constitutionally do is enforce these crimes, and that is it. And so what happened? See, we have been hoodwinked. We have been convinced by a lot of nefarious people or pernicious people that have basically told us, oh, well, you and I are going to be subjugated by these crimes because they have the necessary and proper cases. They have the needs. They have a compelling supremacy that is going to give them this power. And it's all a house of cards. So it's not that big of a deal to fix. There's lots of people that are being punished. However, most of the states already have crimes, like, you know, like this El Chapo guy that is being, or Capo, whatever, this guy that's being tried for racketeering, murder, and all these other things. Almost every single state has crimes against those things. So when we get rid of the federal government's jurisdiction over crime, you can easily apply those and maybe retry. I don't know, but the bottom line is, if the federal government doesn't have the authority to create and enforce laws other than those things within the Constitution, then we've got a problem, and it can be cleaned up. And the only people who have the ability and who have the authority to clean up this mess are the state legislators, not the governors, not Senate, and not the House. It is the state legislators who have this responsibility. And so I would love to see the state actually step in. I mean, what that would mean is we've got the audit started and moving forward, and that would be great. So another thing I wanted to talk about, because this is really big in the news, is the Democrats are they're really out there creating a huge flap. I would actually say the hypocrites have come home to roost. If you look at what New York has done in bringing Amazon to New York, and the Virginia one is a little bit different, it is very clear that New York has gone to the communists. And here is a state that is bringing in a corporation that they're just, you know, head over heels over regarding, you know, them coming in and doing all of this business. And they're giving them, I mean, I don't know how many billions of dollars. And I think somebody was saying, I think Neil Cavuto said today it was around in the tune of about 48, 45 billion. And so they actually calculated the cost per person. It came down to like 40 some thousand per person in New York that they were going to have to carry that load. Or there's, you know, the state of New York was going to have to spread that load somehow across other taxes and insert new taxes instead of putting that onto the people. But either way, where do taxes fall? Where do the taxes really fall? They always fall on the people that are buying the products, the people that are buying the houses, living in the houses, or what have you. There are some people that actually get away with paying a lot less. They have a very low tax liability because they don't make any money and they try to hide underneath things. And so they don't feel the hard, cold fist of government tyranny by, you know, spending their money as those people who are trying to work and trying to get ahead and living life like, I would just say, the average person, trying to improve their lot and making sure that what their children have is something better and in a better position than them. The interesting thing, though, is this whole thing with Amazon and Virginia. Now, I've told you this before. You go find me the bid, and you won't find it. There was a no-bid contract given to Amazon regarding the government going into their data center. So how would you like it? Because it seems like we're going down this path where the corporations are kind of taking over and ruling and taking control. Maybe it should be the United States of Amazon. How's that sound? Because Amazon is literally a globalist. They are huge promoters of taking and using the corporate world as well as government to controlling us. And so I find it really interesting that they got this a bid to go into Virginia. And actually, the tax breaks and everything else they got in Virginia was like half the percentage of what New York was doing. So, I mean, Bezos was literally obligated to going into New York because they were practically giving away the store. The other thing about Amazon is they are huge social engineer promoters. They are constantly working in their work culture in getting people to become a part of the agenda. I worked for a large global company And that company was a UK company. And that company, as I was starting to leave, you could see the policies literally going from, you know, a sterile environment to all of a sudden grinding a, what's the best word for it? They were literally grinding an axe over the progressive agenda. They started offering healthcare benefits for people who wanted to go through gender reassignment. And I'm telling you, that's pretty expensive. I mean, they will not provide, you know, benefits for people that want cosmetic surgery, but they will, you know, do gender reassignments. And so as we looked at that as an employees, we started saying, you got to be kidding me. We're being punished and they're actually enabling and supporting that. I was so glad to leave. And I have a whole bunch of information and data of the stuff they were doing. It would just blow you away. But I'm at a hard break, so we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so getting back to this corporation thing, Amazon does business in every single state. And I get the fact that they're operating out of certain states and they're hiding their profits from all these other states. I'm also, you know, you got to put this into context that later on or earlier this year, South Dakota actually sued the federal government or petitioned the federal government to literally take over another violation of the Constitution. Thank you, South Dakota. But what they did was they basically begged, and the federal government has stepped in and started mandating sales tax regulations to be enforced for all companies across the state lines. So in other words, everything that Amazon was selling, people were buying and they weren't paying sales tax. Now Amazon has to collect sales tax and pay them. As I mentioned before, I buy things from B&H Photo, not from Amazon. And if I can, I buy it there. And as a matter of fact, I'll even step out where I buy stuff. I will buy stuff from Jet and I will buy stuff from Walmart, even though I know there's going to be a little more tax. And I think with Jet, I don't know if Jet charged taxes or not. But bottom line, when I looked at my cost, shipping and everything else, I was able to get usually almost everything for less money from Jet. as well as I got it quicker because almost everything literally arrived within 2 days. I pulled the trigger on the order, I had it. Where it, I don't know how Jet does that, but I do know that they are great competitors with Amazon on the pricing and so forth. So if you're kind of fed up with Amazon, there are alternate sources. However, the point is that Amazon as a corporation doing business via the internet is literally using communications as a portal, even though they may not be a brick and mortar in your home state. There is merit in looking at and having the states actually start looking at these types of mega companies to say, you know, that's great that you're doing that. And that's great that we, you know, we're all kind of, because everybody's highways are being used for the transportation of commerce and all of that stuff. And so as we peel back this federal government involvement, maybe the states, you know, if you're in ma-pa store and you're only, you know, operating in a local community, then you should only be paying the taxes for that county, city, or what have you, and state. But if you're a large service provider, product provider like Amazon, then maybe the states need to have a mechanism to be able to tax those businesses because they're not getting their, if you want to call it their pound of flesh out of these companies that are utilizing all of their resources, even though they're not operating within the boundaries. And so these are some of the things that I honestly think that the state legislators will actually be able to come with a really good sound policy of ensuring that these states that are being disenfranchised by how these corporations move and place themselves and so forth will, you know, it'll help equalize that so that New Mexico won't be such a leech on all of the taxes from the federal government, because that's one of the states that, you know, I don't know if there's any businesses out of New Mexico, but it seems like they get more than their fair share of entitlements from the federal government. And so, you know, it won't necessarily be like leeching anymore. But anyway, I'm just kind of pointing out that this is a huge hypocrisy that the Democrats are going and they're just using Amazon to help further themselves, because Amazon is a big funder of global communism as we move forward. Now, I want to get back to this justice stuff because Trump is talking about prison reform. This goes hand in hand. So here's another issue with the Justice Department, where Trump is looking at working with in a bipartisan effort with the Democrats and trying to change, you know, how we imprison people. They don't have any constitutional founding and standing in that. Zero. None. Zip. It's about time we actually start enforcing and getting those things back to the states. The states have the sovereignty over that, and the states need to be administering justice and so forth instead of the federal government. I'm not sure, and I know this is big in the news. There's this gal called London Lamar who is a Democrat. She's kind of young. She's said some pretty horrendous things regarding Tennessee's as racist and that Republican voters are uneducated and so forth. And this probably got everybody's, you know, this is all hyperbole. This is literally hyperbole. But one of the things that she was saying is the fact that these uneducated voters of Tennessee are racist. And the way she kind of just blanketed that statement out there. The fact of the matter is that she's just an indoctrinated person that truly believes that communism and the direction she's going is the superior way. Now, I would like to see the academic argument to support that, because there is no data anywhere that shows that communism and socialism is a success. As a matter of fact, historically, every nation that has been lured by that beast has been destroyed. And many nations that have been lured by that beast has, you know, like in recent times, like Germany, like I said yesterday, Germany was one that was the first nation to employ socialism. And it literally decimated their economy, which actually drove them into war. I mean, the fact that socialism caused World War I and II, to me, is something you just can't sweep under the rug. it was that deplorable and it created that bad of a situation that why is it that they're getting a pass on going down this path of saying, we're going to do this here. We're going to do this here. That's how stupid and idiotic, or I should say, that's what indoctrination and brain washing actually does to these folks. They literally, and again, I go back to the ends justify the means. These people will do anything that they have to do to force you into this so that they can fail. Because they're so convinced that this is the time it's not going to fail. And when it fails 100% of the time. And it fails 100% of the time because people will game. As long as people know that there's this crack in the system that they can get through and they can take advantage, they do. That's why I tell you, you know, if our government isn't literally, and our welfare state and all of that isn't a plan of everybody must be self-sufficient if possible, that way we can really reduce those people that really need help and assistance to those that actually need it, instead of those people that are completely able-bodied that are sitting at home and they refuse to do anything and they just keep on getting their government checks. So, anyway, let me just kind of move on because that the lunacy is, it's killing me. I've talked to you about, and this is some more information that I think you're going to find interesting. I've given you different views and different perspectives and insights on all of this. The doctrine of Takiya. Everybody understands the doctrine of Takiya. I hope you do. If not, I'll just recap it real quick. It is an Islamic doctrine that basically allows these religious, righteous people to lie, cheat, steal, and do whatever is necessary to further their cause. As long as it furthers the success of Islam, you can break all the rules of Islam. As long as you're breaking those rules, in other words, as long as you're lying to an infidel, as long as you're cheating an infidel, somebody that's not a part of the team, you know, the opponent, so your enemy, you can do anything and everything that, you know, that's a sin in their world. You can do that to the enemy because that's okay. And I told you that the doctrine of Takiya is embraced by communists. You don't have to be Islamist. It is a doctrine that is embraced by secular progressives and all of these people who are all on board with this globalization. Now, the Need to Know News provided an article today that came out that there is the CEO and founder of Advocates Abroad. It's a pro-immigration NGO that helps migrants enter into Europe. And what they do is they provide legal aid and they prepare them. And the quote-unquote coaching that they provide to the migrants to help them learn how to lie to get asylum interviews. And so this was actually provided, and you should really, if you're not getting these things, you need to get Need to Know News, because this is an undercover video where Ricker actually admits to this whole process of the asylum process, and she refers to it as simple theater. She says, or she admits to teaching the migrants how to cry, to act the part of the refugee in trauma, and even vomit to show extreme emotions. She revealed that she teaches migrants to pretend to be Christian and how to pretend to pray. Is this not evil? And this is happening. And so the reason I'm going to highlight this, and she also goes on and she admits that her non-government organization, NGO, is involved with human smugglers abroad. Advocates Abroad is linked to the International Lawyers Bar Association and has 380 staff members who worked with over 1,500 refugees in 2017 alone. And so this is just something to think about, okay? I just want to throw that out there. But I'm 5 seconds from a hard break. So what's really important is this link of how this is happening and how why they're in Greece and what's going on. Because I told you about this about 2 weeks ago. And so I'm going to make a connection for you, and then you're going to go, ah, this is interesting. And we'll see who prevails, and I will give you the details on that when we get back. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back after this. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, where was I? Actually, I know exactly where I am. What I did was I brought up what I think is really relevant regarding the Department of Justice. But there's one other little story that I think has merit. And tomorrow I'm going to really be focusing a lot more and drilling into the party and talking a little bit more about why the party really needs to, you know, address the elephant in the room. And so if you hadn't heard, and I think this is really interesting because companies have the right to restrict people for whatever reason they want. But when you're a company that beckons and calls people to come to visit, to patronage their establishment, and then come to find out that all of a sudden you can't do certain things, you can't wear certain, let's say everything you own is a Trump 2020 shirt and Trump 22, because you're all in Trump 2020. Well, there's some places that will say, well, you can't wear that in here. And let's say you traveled all the way across the, you know, the states to go to Disney World. And they said, well, you can't wear political shirts. Well, you didn't know that. And you bought your tickets. You paid for this, you know, extravagant vacation. And you're staying in their hotel. And they're not going to let you go into the park. Well, so Disney World actually banned a Trump supporter because he repeatedly broke rules by exhibiting signs. Apparently, they have a prohibition on having signage. And Don Cini was apparently, you know, showing these signs as he was going along on the roller coasters, Trump 2020 and stuff like that. And, you know, the guy's a fan, right? Well, they went after him and they banned him. And I, you know, technically they have that right to do that, but it doesn't bode well when, you know, Disneyland happens to be a huge promoter of the secular progressive agenda. So for what it's worth, I think, you know, it just goes down to that lack of tolerance that they tend to have, because I'm sure that there's been other cases, because this may be one of the only cases that they've actually acted to ban somebody. But I'm sure there's been other cases, whether they be, you know, the gay rights, because if you didn't remember back in the 90s, you could make a huge mistake by taking your family all the way across the states to Disney World, and it'd be gay days or, you know, homosexual days for the whole week. And what are you going to do now? I mean, you've just literally wasted all that money, and you can't take your kids with those people running around. And there were literally videos and so forth of these people being either barely dressed, engaging in lewd behavior and so forth. And you go, this is not a family park right now. Anyway, putting the axe away, and let me get into what George Nicholas talked about. And I've read this before, but this is very interesting because it goes into the whole purpose of the Constitution and the purpose of it not establishing law, that was left to the states. So let me read what Mr. George Nicholas said. And he says, "But sir, this Constitution is defective because the common law is not declared to be in force? What would have been the consequence if it had? It would be immutable. In other words, this is what it would have to be. But now it can be changed or modified as the legislative body may find necessary for the community." In other words, each state now can dictate what they want to do for the law of their state. The intent of the Constitution, I'm digressing here, but the intent of the Constitution was not to establish any laws or anything. It literally granted very few laws at all, and it wasn't to be, you know, the dominance of creating all laws. As a matter of fact, it was the supreme law of the land in only the context of the enumerated powers, and that was it. And so he moves on, he says, "As to the exclusion of a jury from the vicinage or the area, or the immediate area, he has mistaken the fact. The legislator may direct a jury to come from the vicinage, but the gentleman says that by this Constitution, they have power to make laws to define crimes and prescribe punishments. And that, consequently, we are not free from torture. Treason against the United States is defined in the Constitution, and the forfeiture limited to the life of the person attained." So he's going through the laws that the federal government possesses, or I should say the jurisdiction over very specific laws that they have the ability to try and punish people. So treason was one of them. Congress have power to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas, and offenses against the laws of nations. This is what you heard from me before. But they cannot define or prescribe the punishment of any other crime whatsoever without violating the Constitution. You've heard me say this before, but this is now George Nicholas during the Virginia ratification debates telling the states that this is the facts. "If we had no security against torture but our Declaration of Rights, we might be tortured tomorrow, for it had been repeatedly infringed and disregarded. A Bill of Rights is only an acknowledgement of a pre-existing claim to the rights of the people. They belong to us as much as if they had been inserted in the Constitution. But it is said that if it be doubtful, the possibility of dispute ought to be precluded. Admitting it was proper for the convention to have inserted a Bill of Rights, it is not proper here to propose it as a condition of our accession to the Union." In other words, he's saying, had they inserted a Bill of Rights, it would actually and literally be, you know, something for them to sink their teeth into. But because it's not, because this was the issue, they wanted to basically not ratify the Constitution unless they put a contingency out there. They would not ratify it unless they got a Bill of Rights. They got their Bill of Rights anyway because Madison delivered. But the point being is that Virginia wanted to have a contingency in their ratification, and it was not an amenable process or was not an allowed process in the ratification. You either ratified or you didn't. And he goes on and says, Would you reject this government for its omission, dissolve the union, and bring miseries on yourself and posterity? I hope the gentleman does not oppose it on the ground solely. Is there another reason? He said that it's not only the general wish of the state, but all the states to have a Bill of Rights. If it be so, where is the difficulty of having this done by way of subsequent amendment? We shall find that the other states... So he's pointing out, and I'm going to marry this up for you as well, because I just realized I need to do this. If you understand the Bill of Rights created a restriction on the federal government not to do these things. And so the federal government literally created a Bill of Rights to say they can't create any laws that infringe upon your freedom of speech. Bottom line, or religion, or the press, and those, and you understand the Bill of Rights is just a negative placed upon the federal government. But in context to the enumerated powers, you have these delegated enumerated powers that's all they can do. Then they created these super protection amendments that says you can't even go here at all. Don't even think about going here. Well, if you think about it, where in the Constitution did the federal government have any delegated authority over religion, over marriage, over life, over education, over any of these things? They didn't. So the creation of the Bill of Rights was literally an appeasement to these people who said, we have to have these protections. But the protections were already in place because the federal government had no jurisdiction over all of these other things. So he goes on and says, let me see here. If it so be, where is the difficulty of having this done by subsequent amendments? And that's what he just left off. So he goes on and says, we shall find the other states willing to accord with their own favorite wish. The gentleman last up says that the power of legislation includes everything. A general power of legislation does. But this, and you've heard me say this constantly, but this is a special power of legislation. Therefore, it does not contain the plenitude of power which he imagines. They cannot legislate any case but those particularly enumerated. No gentleman who is a friend of government ought to withhold his assent from it for this reason. And he's absolutely right. He's spot on by saying that the federal government is trapped. They are supposed to be held. Now, this is where it gets into how did they get here? Why are we in this position? We're in this position with the Justice Department, FBI, the deep state, and all of these other things. We're in this position because when nobody had access to all of the facts, because from the founding of this nation until the internet, how many people really had access to these ratification debates? They were hidden. They were buried. They were sitting alone. And it wasn't something that was, you know, duplicated. They didn't Xerox these things because Xerox didn't exist. And so they had very limited resources in promulgating the facts and the founding documents. I call the ratification debates founding documents because they should be... They should be entwined. They should be appendages to the Constitution. And so what happened was every time a state came in, the states were not learning about all of these definitions, about these hardcore legislation or the hardcore limitations that were placed upon the federal government. So what ended up happening, before we go, I want to finish this, but what ended up happening was the lawyers and the judges said, we can do this because we've got precedence, case law, and they lied and deceived the states coming in to say, we can do anything we want to do. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. I hope you keep tuning in, and we'll be back tomorrow. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.